Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to recite salawat upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, recitation of salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great means of thawab, a great means of reward for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the one who recites salat upon me 100 times on the day of Friday, 100 needs of his will be fulfilled. Subhanallah. Out of those 100 needs, 30 needs are for dunya and 70 needs are reserved to be fulfilled in the akhirah. This too is Allah's mercy, because our needs are bigger in the akhirah. How much can you need in dunya? It's an abode that you're living in for a few years. We say in a few years, it seems like long. 50, 60, 70, 80 years seems long to us. But when you compare to the akhirah, then you realize it's just a few years. It's a little while. So we have little needs, fewer needs, and smaller needs in dunya. But the needs for the akhirah are bigger. So Allah Azza wa Jal reserves the bulk of it for us for the akhirah. Allah give us tawfiq to increase in salawat. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina wa habibina mawlana Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi, ya habibi, ya rasulallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. We are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no one that knows us better than our creator. This goes without doubt. If we know ourselves, well, you may not know me the way I know myself, and I may not know you the way you know yourself. So no one from amongst us knows each other like they know themselves. We may know our spouses, we may know our siblings, we may not know our children, but not to the level that they know themselves. And then, we think, or it seems like we know ourselves best, but the one who knows us better than we know ourselves is the one who created us. The one who created us, he knows us better than we can know ourselves, because he's the creator. He Azza wa Jalla has formed us. Whatever feeling we have in our hearts, he created that too. He gave that to us too. Whatever desire we have, he knows very well. Because it's all his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and whatever is associated to us as well. All the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows each feeling that is placed within the human heart. Each thought that is within the human mind. Whatever is placed within us, he knows better than we know ourselves. And one of the feelings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about, that is placed in the human heart, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأحضرت الأنفس الشح. Allah Azza wa Jal says, tells us that greed is a quality that is found, that is placed within the human heart. And thus, it's very difficult for someone to rid themselves of greed. Yes, it's necessary. It's something that we have to work towards. We have positive feelings, we have negative feelings. You see, when we have positive and negative feelings, some people say, well, it comes naturally, don't blame me. Mistake. It's a mistake. It came naturally, don't blame me. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot of feelings that come naturally that you have to fight against. There's a lot of feelings that come naturally that you have to fight against. Let me give you an example, right? Let's say, for example, you saw lots of wealth. A whole lot of money was placed in front of you. It was right there in front of you. What's your feeling? You wish it was yours? Normal, natural human feeling. You don't have to be ashamed of it or shy about it. It's normal. You see a lot of wealth in front of you, you wish it was yours. If someone had millions lying in front of you, you wish it was yours. You would love if you could just take it and keep it with you and use it for yourself. Natural feeling. If you didn't wish that, how come you'd be happy if someone says, here, take it, I'm gifting it to you? Subhanallah. You'd love it. So it's laying in front of you. It's laying in front of a human being. Naturally, the feeling is, I want it to be mine. And so, what is the feeling? I wish I can just take it, keep it, take it home, and use it. But if you were just to take it home and use it, what will you call it? Theft, isn't it? But you had the natural feeling of that natural inclination towards theft. So if you just took it, will it be right or wrong? Wrong. It would be wrong. You'll consider it theft. In whichever country you are, the police would most likely lock that person up, court case, etc., and the person would be imprisoned. Although it was something that they did because they say, no, but you can't blame me. It was a natural feeling that it just occurs to me. It was from within me. So even natural inclinations like that, if it's wrong, we have to fight against it. We have to stand against those feelings. And thus you have various other feelings that people have sometimes, you know, that they say, I'm inclined towards sin, or I'm inclined towards a certain thing, and it's a natural thing. I feel like I grew up with this feeling naturally in me. And therefore, don't blame me for indulging in such actions. Our answer is one very simple answer. It's not just an answer, it's an advice that certain feelings, if they are wrong, you need to fight against it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that it's haram to act in that direction, you have to fight against it. That's your duty. That's what we have to do. We have to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do, Allah ta'ala will reward us. If we disobey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you felt like doing it or you didn't feel like doing it. If we disobey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are worthy of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah for His forgiveness. Ameen. So this feeling of greed in the heart of a human being is something that naturally occurs and that we have to fight. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the danger of that feeling as well. That greed that's within the human heart. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when describing this, when explaining this to us, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that two hungry wolves set on a flock of sheep, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even that is not as dangerous than the greed, the love for sharaf, for honor, and the greed and love for wealth upon the deen of a mu'min. So this is so dangerous for us. And we see it in our day-to-day lives. In fact, if you look at the vices of society, right? At many of the vices of society, you'll find most of the vices of society are based on greed. Tell me, if you saw people, let's say for example, breaking off ties, it's bad, right? But what happens if you broke off family ties where, example, two siblings grow up together, they stand with each other, they will say, you know, I will live for you, I will die for you. If someone was to attack you, I'll give my life for you. So imagine those two siblings separating. The cause of their separation must be very severe. Most of the time, what's the cause for separation? Greed for wealth. Everything goes good until greed for wealth comes in. Parent and child. Parent and child. The relationship, how strong is that? We consider it an inseparable relationship. But we've seen, and you see it, parent and child not getting along, not speaking. Why? Because a little bit of inheritance came between. What is that? Greed for wealth. Greed for dunya, greed for wealth is extremely dangerous. It is so dangerous that relationships where you thought that two parties were inseparable, the greed that is in the human heart for wealth is capable of destroying even those relationships. And it's no secret. You've seen everywhere it happens. Throughout the world. In fact, nowadays, life has gone so bad that off life insurance policies, you have murders committed, murders of loved ones. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is greed for wealth. It's greed for a little bit of the dunya. I'm prepared to have my hands. May Allah save us. But people have, it's as if they are saying that they are prepared to have their own hands stained with the blood of their loved ones in order to get a little wealth. And whoever is saved is only saved because Allah saves them. And really, the ones who are saved, they are saved because Allah saved them. Otherwise, that greed is so strong upon the heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the love for wealth. That craving, that love for wealth, that I have to have it by hook or by crook, whatever it be, it has to come to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that is رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ, that is the key, that is the root of every evil. Therefore, you'll see that evils in society, the root of it is love for dunya, greed for that wealth. I must have it, it's mine. Or if it, even if it's not mine, it should be mine. Who are we to tell whose it should be? Why hasn't it come to me? Hasad comes from the same thing, isn't it? Hasad is jealousy. Someone else has something. Who gave? Allah gave. We're not happy that they have it. We want that it must be taken from them and given to us. This is hasad. Hasad is when you see someone else, by definition, you see someone else having a ni'mah, a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wish, you desire in your heart that it be taken away from that person and given to me. This is hasad. Subhanallah, many people, you know, they see someone have and they say, Subhanallah, mashallah, may Allah give you more and may Allah also give me. This is not jealousy. This is not hasad. This is fine. Because you're making dua, Allah increase for that person. Allah increase that person in ni'mah. And then you're also making dua for yourself. This is fine. This is good. But that feeling that why do they have it? Why should they have it? It should come away from them and it should come to me. I'm more deserving. This is hasad. I'm more deserving of the post. Why is this person hasad? Trick of shaitan. I'm more deserving. I'm supposed to get. Why is this person? Who are we to say what we're supposed to get and what we're not supposed to get? Since when we became in charge of distribution? Since when we decide what each person must have and what the next person must have and what they mustn't have and what we must have and what we mustn't have? Who decides? We? No. Allah wills. Allah wills who should have what. So when we challenge this is challenging. We challenge this that they must not have, I must have. You are challenging the will of Allah. You are challenging, then we are challenging the distribution of Allah. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, we placing objection. No. I don't want it to be like that. I want it should actually be like this. Challenging the distribution of Allah is dangerous. We didn't create it in the first place. Allah created it, Allah gave. Allah gave to His creation. So then how is it that we must feel that it mustn't go there, it must come to us? And I'll tell you, today, in today's time, hasad has reached a whole new level. Hasad, greed, jealousy has reached a whole new level. It's on its own maqam today. What we couldn't be on previously. There's just this greed. We always want to see and we always feel that we should have. Even if it's not hasad, let's say for example, say no, we don't wish it leaves them. But just the greed has reached its own level. And why has it reached its own level? It's reached a very high level because we started to see too much. We started to see too much. The father was carrying the child past the toy store. Or the child is walking. As they came to the toy store, the father picked the child up, covered the child's eyes, and ran quickly past the toy store, and then put the child down and they carry on walking. Why? It seems like we all know what's happening. We all understand it. Why did the father do so? The father did so because he didn't want the child to see the toys. Why did he not want the child to see the toys? Because when he sees the toys, he will want the toy. And when he wants the toy, then the father has to ensure that he has the means to provide the toy. So it all stemmed, providing the toy eventually. It stemmed from what? From the child seeing the toy. When the child saw the toy, the desire grew within the heart to have it. When the desire grew, then there needed to be means to be able to attain it, to give it to the child. What he did? He cut the problem at the root. He avoided sin. When the child didn't see, the child didn't desire. There was a beautiful story as well of one, a personality that one day there were some ladies that were walking by a young child, but a muttaqi child, meaning a pious child who grew up in a pious home. And ladies were walking by and they were not well covered. They were not in good parda. But this is a child, nabaligh youngster. And as they were walking by, the child was only wearing a kurta. You know, kurta, you can have two-piece kurta, normal kurta. So only wearing a kurta, didn't have an undergarment. What in today's time we'll call a pants. No? So this child picked up the daman of his kurta, meaning picked up the bottom area of his shirt, kameez kurta, and covered his eyes. And they told him, they started laughing. Hey child, you're covering your eyes, your legs are showing. You know what is normally considered aura? That is showing, you're covering your eyes. What's happening? The child gave a response. And what a profound response. The child said, what the eyes don't see, the heart doesn't desire. And what the heart doesn't desire, the limbs do not move towards. What the eyes don't, that's the root. When you see, then you desire. When you desire, then you move towards. Greed has reached the level it has reached because we see too much. There was a point at which we only saw what someone had when they were in front of us, when it was in front of us, physically in front of us. In today's day and age, greed has reached its peak until now, because we and our family members, even though they may be within their homes, they are seeing what the entire dunya has. They are seeing what the entire world has. Our families within their homes are able to see that so-and-so person could be so-called celebrity sitting in USA or in Canada or in the UK has this new dress. Now I want it. So-and-so celebrity or so-and-so person that's sitting in this certain country has that certain vehicle. Now I desire it. Now I want it. What has happened? We've lifted all the veils from the eyes to be able to see anything and everything. To be able to see anything and everything, meaning so much more. To see so much more. And when we saw so much more, what do you think happened to the heart? We desired more. And when we desire more, what happens? That's when you feel, I need to get it. I need to get it. I have to get it. That's the point at which you find, you know, if I can fast forward the entire situation, that's the point at which you find the family putting pressure. We need it, we want it, we should have this, we don't have it. And they place so much of pressure upon those who are the breadwinners. So much of pressure that they feel that I have to get it no matter what, because the family really wants it. I don't know what answer to get to them. And then they start moving towards, okay, I'm trying by halal means, but I didn't get enough. And then this deal comes up and that deal comes up and this comes up, this haram deal and this haram deal. By hook or by crook, we get it, we provide it to them. Fast forward to Akhirah, what happens? The same family members stand in front of, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, he fed me haram. Oh Allah, they fed me haram. Oh Allah, they dressed me in haram. This is what I ate. I ate haram. I wore haram. The earnings we had was haram. Why? By hook or by crook, he had to get it. Why? Because they put the pressure. Why they put the pressure? Because they saw. When they saw, the desire came in the heart. And half the time, maybe I would say more than half the time, if we just ask ourselves the question that what our family members and we ourselves, what we see people having and what they are on different social media platforms, etc., is it even real? Ikhwani, half the time it's a facade, more than half the time. You know, it's a facade, it's just something that's there in the front. It's just a garb, it's something they wear. You have couples happily married, going along wonderfully with their marriage, so happy with their cute little children, etc. MashaAllah, Mubarak. But most of the time the video is done. Finally, I don't have to see your face. Finally, we're done. It's work. We just have to provide a 2-minute video so everybody can see. Happy family. And then, I wish my husband can be like that. And I wish my wife can be so loving. They see how much they do for you. Ikhwani, they're putting a facade in front of us. We're falling for it. There we think everything we're seeing is real. What you have is real. What you see is not real most of the time. What you have is real. The wife and children you have at home, that's real. The mahabba you have in your lives, that's real. The earning and the risk Allah gave you, that's real. Not what you're seeing everyone else have. Of borrowed money, can I borrow your car so I can do the shot? Can I hire a dress so that we can make a very nice video? Oh, look at their dress and look at, this one is not even theirs. It's a facade they place in front of you. And we're thinking, how I wish. Many of them behind the screens, or behind you behind the screen wishing, how I wish I had what they have. Many of them behind their cameras wish they had what you have. Many of them wish they had the families you have. They wish they had the mahabba you have. They wish they had the sincerity in your families that you have. They wish they ate the food you have. They wish that the vehicles, the homes, the clothing they owned was theirs. Allah gave you. And yet, we just see everything. We're seeing one after the other, after the other. I wish it was mine. The greed is in the heart. If you want to lower what the heart desires, if you don't want to go towards rizq haram, lower what the heart desires. If you want to lower what the heart desires, start lowering what the eyes see. Islam taught you guard your gaze, isn't it? You know why deen teaches you guard your gaze? Because when you see, you desire. When you desire, you move towards haram. Tell me, very openly I'm mentioning this, that you know, wrong relationships, evil relationships, haram relationships, you think they just start like that? You see, heart desires, limbs move towards it. Islam teaches you cover yourself, cover your aura properly. Why are you not allowed to, you know, wrap yourself in clothes? You wear loose clothing. Why is it that Islamic sisters have a certain garb that they should wear, that they should ensure that they are covered well? Islam protected your eyes. When your eyes are protected, automatically your heart is protected.
And when your heart is protected, automatically your lungs are protected. Ameen bijahi khatam al-nabiyyin. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said